eyes on Jesus, you'll be encouraged. Amen? You'll be strengthened to know that all of these things, Jesus said, must come to pass before He comes again. And you know, if we can see the signs of His imminent return when He sends down judgment upon this earth, you think about this. If we can see all those signs that are telling us He's coming again, His judgment is coming upon this wicked world of sin, how much more should we be living in the light of hope and peace, knowing that the return, when He calls us out of here, is 7 years before that. And you know what? His rapturing us out, His gathering us out to take us home, if we can see the signs of His physical return, man, we ought to really be excited to think that Jesus could just call us out of here just at any moment. We could be out of here in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And Paul was trying to remind these folks, man, you are the light that God has left in this dark world of sin. Listen, Wednesday night, I don't know how many of you were here Wednesday night, but Pastor Fuchs preached the message about salt, being salt in this world. And man, how many good things are made even better, and how many things that are bad are preserved by salt. And you and I are the salt of this earth, Jesus said. He's got us here for a purpose, and that is to preserve it, to keep things from getting worse than they are. And that's all the more reason that you and I have to keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. We got to keep our eyes on the Lord so that we can be that salt, so that we can be that light that's shining in the darkness of sin in our world today. And we saw last week how that the conduct of those Thessalonian believers was what Paul was trying to encourage them not to fall away. Keep your conduct, keep your vision, keep your conduct living for God so that others can see Christ in you. And their conduct was to be watchful and self-control. But the question was, how could they do that? We looked at that this past week. Number one, they were to remain in loving and confident power and strength in the Lord. Folks, you and I don't have the love that we need to have in ourselves for the world. When they come to us and they aggravate us and frustrate us and cause us to get upset about things, listen, we got to love them in Christ. If it were not for God's love for us, man, we could not be able to love others and tell them about Jesus. I saw a sign yesterday, and they used one of these new versions of the Bible. It was from 1 John talking about, you know, we love because He first loved us. It just said, we love because He first loved us. Listen, you can love anything in this world, but the fact is we love Him because He first loved us. And listen, folks, if we don't love Him, we won't be found loving anybody else. Now, you know what? The world does not have a lot of things that I can appreciate. The way that they act, the way that they talk, the way that they do things, the manner of thinking is not things that I can appreciate. But because I am saved through the love of Christ, I need to be willing to love them in Christ to be able to teach them how that they can be loved by Christ. And they, in turn, can love Him as well. And so Paul encouraged them to remain loving in the power of Christ, to love in the confidence that Christ gives us to love the world and to care for them. We do that by putting on that breastplate of love and the faith, the helmet, the hope of our salvation, as we looked at last week in chapter 4, I believe it was verses 8 through 10. But then I want you also notice that we were put on that armor. We had to put on the armor of God. Listen, folks, we cannot face the world in our own power, in our own strength. We cannot do it. We need the armor of the Lord upon us. We need to keep the armor on. Listen, we get weary sometimes. We get burdened down with things sometimes. We get sidetracked by things. And the devil wants us to get our eyes, our vision on ourselves so that we only thing we're thinking about, man, is I'm tired, I'm weary, I'm worn out, I'm, you know, just can't go on. And we want to just take a time where we take the breastplate, we take off our shoes, which shods us for the preparation of the gospel of peace. We take off pieces of armor. And what the devil wants us to do is to get to the point we don't have the armor of God active and being worn in our lives so that he can attack us. He starts with the heart. He goes for our minds through the TV stuff. Man, there are times we found out we just have to turn it off. Just turn it off. Get away from it. I don't think I've watched the news in a couple years now. We just turned it off. We don't want to dwell on those things. We know what's going on in our world. We see what's happening. We understand why it's happening. But that's why we've got to stay in the book. Amen? Stay in the Word of God. Stay founded upon the Word of God. And we got to remember that God is wanting us to stay awake in this old dark world of sin. Don't lay around and just sleep and get yourselves sidetracked so that you're discouraged. But keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep the armor of God on and beware of what the devil is trying to do. And then he said this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 18 last week. When he told them all these things about how the Lord is going to descend with a shout from heaven, with the voice of the archangels and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ are going to rise first, and we which are alive and remain will be called up together with him in the clouds so as to meet him in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. He summed it all up in verse 18 by saying, wherefore, or because of these things, comfort one another with these words. Listen, the world can't be comforted with those words. They don't think anything about it. They think we're a bunch of nuts. You know, one day they're going to say aliens came and got them. No, we're aliens now, okay? We're aliens walking in a strange land. But honey, when we get home, we're going to be right where we belong, amen, with the Lord Jesus. We're going to be there with him forever, never to depart again. And this should be comfort to us. And what he's saying here is we need to comfort and strengthen one another. Man, when Brother Ron came to me this morning talking to me about his dad, big old tears coming down his cheeks. Then we went in the office, we prayed this morning. I want to comfort him. I want to strengthen him. I want to help him to be able to face these things. The devil would love to get you down, Brother Ron. But you know what? Keep your eyes on Jesus. Amen. Listen, we got to keep our eyes on the Lord today. And we need to comfort one another with these words. He's coming back to get us. Man, we picked up my dog yesterday, Precious, at the vet, at the kennel. Brother Sister Flick kept her for us down there while we were gone out of town. And we went up to Pennsylvania, went around with different places and saw stuff with some of the folks here from class. And we got up in there, man, just enjoyed it. And I got to looking at my watch yesterday afternoon. I said, man, we got to get our little Precious. We were just looking forward to seeing her. And I hope she was in that kennel cage in there thinking, my daddy's coming to get me. I don't know when, but he's coming to get me. When the girl went inside to get her, when we left her there, I had her sitting on my lap, and the lady came around to the window, and they wouldn't let us bring her in because of the COVID thing. You know, they don't want us infecting their dogs. So we didn't go in, okay? And so she came around to get Precious off my lap. Precious sitting on my lap. And she knew the building we were at. She knew where we were at. And, man, she was clawed into my legs, buddy. She didn't want to. And the lady reached in the window to pick her up and take her. And Precious turned around and did something I've never seen her do. She growled at that woman. I mean, she growled like, don't you take me away from my daddy. You know, this is my daddy. You're not taking me away. I said, baby, daddy's coming back again. I'll come back and get you. Don't you worry about it. And I could see the little tears dripping out of her eyes as she walked around. I could see it. I could see it. Yeah. But she didn't know what time we were coming back yesterday. And I told her, I told the lady, I said, when I called, I said, now, what time can I pick her up? 6 o'clock. 6 o'clock. We got you down for 6 o'clock. I said, okay, we'll be there. And I got there a little early, and we're just sitting there waiting. She drove up. She said, I'll go in and get her. I said, well, here, take the leash. This is her leash. You take it in with her. And she came out the door, and you could tell Precious didn't want to be out and all that stuff. But when she saw her daddy, she came running. Amen. And then she saw her mama, and she come running around the car there too. But you know what? One of these days, think about it, folks. We're going to see our Heavenly Father. He's going to step out on the clouds, and he's going to say, hey, children, I'm coming to get you. Come on home. And, buddy, what a day that's going to be. What a day that's going to be. What a day. The question is, are you ready? Are you waiting? Are you looking for the Savior to come back? I didn't ask you if you were saved. Most of you in here, I know, probably all of you, as far as I know, all of you know Christ as your Savior. But are you ready for the Lord to come back and get you? Are you ready for him to bring you home? Man, Precious was just licking on us, and she was just loving on us. And man, she'd run back to the back, and she'd look in the little bags, and we had some treats in there for her. Man, she was wanting those treats. One day when we get home, we're going to have a treat. We're going to have the marriage supper of the Lamb. We're going to be there with him one day. But you know what? Until that day comes, are you watching? Are you truly waiting? Or have you let the world get you sidetracked, distracted by the things of this whole world? Listen, keep watching. Be ready. His coming again to take us home could be at any time today. And today, I want us to look at this thing. I want us to look at being a backseat driver. Now you say, Brother Ray, what are you talking about being a backseat driver? Well, as Paul ends this first letter to the Thessalonian believers, 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, he's urging them to continue on the right path to victorious living while we're here upon this earth. While we're here, while we're in the midst of the trials and the heartaches and the persecutions and the things that come our way, we still need to be living victoriously as Christians, as born-again believers. But in order to accomplish this, he gives them here some specific commands in this letter as he closes out this first epistle to them. And I want you to see it here. First of all, number one, in verses 12 through 22, he covers some things. He gives certain commands here. And I want you to see, first of all, he speaks to the church's leaders. He speaks to the church's leaders in verses 12 and 13. Look what he said. He said, and we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. I know of churches right now where the people and the pastor don't get along. Man, they just don't have the love, the fellowship for one another. And you know what? I can't say that for this church. I love this church. And I love the way that we love our pastor, and he shows us that he loves us. It's a symbiotic relationship, so to speak. We live in Christ and we love one another. We encourage one another. And Paul here, he's trying to get them to remember two important factors in their lives that they need to remember each and every day. Number one, that was upon hearing the word of God being preached, that these folks had turned away from the false idols that they used to worship. And now they serve from their heart the true and living God. They turned away from false idols. Can you imagine worshiping an idol? It has ears and it can't hear your prayers. It has eyes and it can't see your needs. It has a mouth and yet it cannot speak words of peace and comfort and even strength to your heart. They turned away from those things that they had been used to doing, and they turned unto the true and living God. But then secondly, he reminded them that these same believers were now experiencing some great persecution for their faith in Christ. Turn back to chapter 1 just a moment. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1. And I want you to look at verses 6 through 10. Look what he said here. He said, "And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction, with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye are in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entry in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come." Folks, these new converts in Christ had begun to live now. They'd begun to grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the love that they had for God soon spread among not only their own city, but among all the dwellers of Macedonia and Achaia. And they were faithful to tell folks about Jesus. Man, we went up the Pennsylvania area and up the New Holland area, and some of the folks up there, and we were passing out gospel tracts. And I took a big old stack of gospel tracts and passed them out and was giving out stuff like that. I think, where's Trish? Didn't you get to lead a lady in Green Dragon, right? In the Green Dragon. We went in that Green Dragon place. My wife got her spices and stuff up there. She gets all these spices and comes back and makes me sweeter every week and all this stuff with it. And Trish was talking to a lady there. I can't remember the name of the store. What was the store? Yeah, she was at a religious booth. And they were out there, and she asked if she knew about Christ and she'd know him as her Savior. And the lady said, no. Okay? And Trish got the leader to Christ right there yesterday. You know what? The gospel works everywhere, even in Pennsylvania. It works up there. Those Yankees were getting saved. Listen, man, the gospel will work anywhere you take it. But you got to take it. You got to take it. These folks took the love of God that they had experienced and God's love for them, and they shared it abroad with everybody. And Paul didn't want them to forget that they owed a great debt to those men of God who first came to them and told them about the Savior. And they accepted Christ. They turned away from their wicked ways of living, their idol worship, and the things they did before, and now they continued to steadfastly tell others about the Lord. But he wanted them to also remember those folks that told them about Christ. A couple days ago, there was a posting on Facebook, and my wife saw it. I don't go on Facebook a lot, but she saw it. One of our friends, one of our youth leaders back when we were younger, okay? When we were in our youth choir there at the church where I got saved at, they had a post up there. And it had T-shirts. And we all had big, bright, yellow T-shirts when we went out to a park or somewhere like that. And it had on there, Woodland Baptist Church Youth Choir, "We love Jesus." And it was about 80 of us. And we wore those shirts when we went to Six Flags. And they had video. They actually had video. I thought maybe they just carved it in rock back then, but they had video. And they posted it on Facebook. And I was looking at all those kids that we grew up with and where we learned about the Lord Jesus, where we began to grow. And they had pictures in that little video of some of our youth leaders there, Brother Pete and Jackie, his wife, and the different ones there. And they had a picture as they were scanning across. And my little wife was up there. We were just dating then. And she was up there waving and carrying on, acting crazy. Nothing's changed, okay, all these years. And then they come over there, and they got this big, tall, skinny guy standing there beside her. I thought, who is that guy standing beside my wife? Oh, that's me. But you know what? I looked at that and I thought, man, had it not been for these folks, our church was growing there. I think they ran about 1,500 or so at the church. But they had some folks that desired to teach young people. And they began to take some of us bus kids and teach us about the Lord. And had it not been for those bus workers that came by my house, and for those Sunday school teachers that loved us, and those youth leaders that taught us the Word of God and took us out soul winning and took us out on trips like that and showed us how to tell others about Christ, I owe them a great debt today. And I sent a note back to Brother Pete. He's probably 80 or so now. And you know what? Still loves Jesus. He still loves the Lord. He's still telling folks about Christ. And you know what? I'm thankful for that. And Paul encouraged them, don't forget those folks. He said in verse number 12, look at this. They were to first of all know who their leaders were. Look what he said. He said, we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. Listen, we encourage you to know them who are ministering to you. These men of God, lovingly, they tirelessly labored among them. Last week, somebody was asking how many folks were saved during the month of August. And I was tallying up the names and the numbers and stuff like that. And I noticed on there, our pastor, he had led probably 7 or 8 folks to Christ in the month. Now, you know what? That's a blessing to see, that our pastor is seeing folks saved. Our pastor is... Listen, this morning, when we go in the morning service, he's going to be baptizing 4 folks. Okay? They requested him to baptize them. Man, what a blessing that is. Tonight, we got another one to baptize tonight. And that young man asked for his pastor. And I thought, man, that's a blessing. Somebody said, well, you're not offended because they didn't? No. Man, what a blessing it is that they love their pastor. Amen. They love him. Why? Because he taught them the Word of God. He preached to them the gospel. And they say, you know what? I want to follow the Lord in believer's baptism now. And I'd sure like my pastor. I said, man, we'll work it out. And I told pastor, I said, well, why don't you just, you'll baptize those 4. Just come on up. Just wear them for tonight. You'll be ready. Not a problem. He said, you just make sure I get the ones that don't leak. I said, I can't remember the number of which one it was. Now, we got it marked, okay? We got it marked, which ones don't leak. There is a pair of those waders that do leak, okay? I got to get those things fixed sometime. But listen, these folks, Paul reminded me, he said, you love those folks that taught you and encouraged you in the Word of God. And look at this. These men of God had lovingly, tirelessly labored among them, and they were worthy of the people's respect and their appreciation. When you look at this, God had placed these men over them to tenderly love them and to guide them and to direct them in the ways of God. And Paul wrote here reminding these Thessalonian believers that these men of God, he said, they labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and they admonish you. They strengthen you. They teach you. Listen, you don't just let a child have its way to prove that you love them, okay? You have to pull the reins back sometimes and say, no, that's a word that's never said anymore. Man, many parents today, they're just in there. They just let them have whatever makes them happy. Not whatever makes them happy is always good for them. Sometimes you got to say no. And you know what? It's the same way in teaching folks about the gospel and being saved. You teach them the Word of God. But there are times for their protection, for their safety, for their continued growth in the Lord, you have to teach them no. This is not the way to go. That way leads to destruction. But it looks so good. What's wrong with this? You show them from the Word of God. And these men of God, they were more than just teachers. they were fellow laborers with them in the Lord. And because of this, Paul exhorted these believers to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. And so doing, they themselves would be at peace with God and with one another while they were serving the Lord. You know what? When you serve the Lord, there's peace with that. When we go out soul winning, and some of us gather together in cars, and we'll take 2, 3, 4 of us at a time and go different places, you know what? Everybody's excited about telling somebody about Jesus. Whenever you go over to the nursery at the hospital, okay? I'm assuming it's still that way. You can go over to the nursery and look in there and see the babies and things like that. Listen, everybody is always smiling in there. Everybody says, oh, let me hold it, let me hold it. And all that little baby grabs a hold of your finger. And man, you just feel like, man, I'm special because that baby's got a hold of my finger. You know, they won't let you go. Wait till they start biting, okay? All right? Wait till they start biting. But you know what? It's just a blessing. And you know what? These folks were growing in the Lord. And they cleaved unto these folks, their leaders. And they cleaved unto them. Why? Because they cared for them. But then he also taught them to have concern for one another. Look at verses 14 and 15. He said, now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. Comfort the feeble-minded. Well, I have to dwell on that one ever while. Comfort the feeble-minded. Support the weak. Be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. That was easy for Paul to tell them to be at peace with one another. Okay, that's the easy part. But having peace with others takes work, and it takes the power of God. To have peace with your brothers and sisters in Christ, to have peace as you work with other people, that takes some work. It takes some diligence. It takes some effort, and that strength to do that comes from God. Notice here the three categories of people that they had to work with in their ministry in verse number 14. Look at this. They had to work with them that are unruly, okay? Those that want to just speak their mind without thinking what they're about to speak. Those that were unruly, that had gotten used to living in a selfish manner, so to speak. They also had to deal with the feeble-minded. We're going to deal with that in a minute, okay? And then they had to deal with the weak. Three categories. Now, first of all, look at this. They were to warn them that are unruly. And they were probably referring to those folks that were sitting aside. They refused to work. They'd actually become dependent on the church for all the material and financial needs. We had some folks that called. We have folks that call here all the time. And we try to help anybody that we can help. But we don't give out money. This church is not able to just give out money to everybody. Man, if we did, we'd have the line would be lined up at the door. Everybody's wanting money for something. And you know what? We had some folks that called, and they said, we need money for this, we need money for that. And I said, well, have you sought any other sources? Is your boss willing to give you an advance or anything? Well, we don't work right now. I said, well, how long has it been since you worked? Well, it's been a while. You know, I've got, it's not ADT, that's the security system. What is it called? Something like, what is it? ADHD, okay, yeah. I'm thinking ADT, okay, that's when you lock up your doors at night. They said, I've got this problem, I got that problem, my back hurts. I'm married, so what else? You know, I work. Listen, I have to work. But there's a lot of folks that don't want to work. They just want to have everything just given to them. And you know what? If you'll look in here, Paul taught them also that if a man wouldn't work and care for his family, he shouldn't eat. I noticed everywhere we went yesterday in Pennsylvania, we traveled different places, and everybody had these signs that said, hiring now. Hiring now. Came back to Westminster here yesterday. Hiring now. When we came home last night and my wife was tired, she didn't want to eat, so we ordered something from little not Little Caesars, Olive Garden. Olive Garden over here. We called it in, and then I went back by and picked it up so we could come home and just sit down, relax. She wouldn't have to cook. She wouldn't have to clean dishes. She wouldn't have to do anything, but we could just sit there and relax a little bit. And in the bag that they gave us with the food in it, they had paperwork in there for if you needed a job, here's what you got to fill out and just go to the website. They put it out in the takeout bag. And I thought, my goodness, people don't have money, not because they can't get a job, it's because they don't want to work. That's the problem. And there are companies now that are saying, we'll give you an extra $1,500 bonus if you'll just come back to work. Okay? Let me tell you what they need to do. They need to say, we're going to take this payment away if you don't go back to work, and then pay them when they come back to work. And Paul said, listen, you need to warn them that are unruly. He encouraged those believers to earnestly warn them. Listen, they needed to stop freeloading. They needed to stop all this other stuff and live in accordance to God's will for their lives. And God's will, ever since the Garden of Eden, when God created man, guess what the first thing God did for man was? He gave him a job to tend the earth, to till the soil, to take care of it, to take care of what God had given unto him. And you know what? That's a privilege, amen? That we have a privilege to be able to work today. The second category of people were the feeble-minded. The feeble-minded. Now, I know when you hear that word, you think about me probably, okay? I'm feeble-minded sometimes. I forget things. But you know what? I think that those believers that were faint-hearted and they were weak in the spirit, I think that's what he's calling the feeble-minded. They were kind of wishy-washy on where they stood. They, as long as things were going great, they were feeling great. They were praising God for everything. But when the troubles came, they began to doubt. They began to worry and think, well, does God really care for me? They got discouraged. They got disheartened. They got to the point that they were even despondent and depressed concerning all the things around them. And these folks were to encourage them. They were to strengthen, to exhort them, the feeble-minded. They were to comfort them and to help them to grow in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. But then look at the third category. The third group that Paul exhorted them to be concerned for was the weak. Those were the folks who were struggling with trusting God. I had a young man in chapel service a couple weeks ago. He raised his hand. He wanted to be saved. We gave him the plan of salvation. And he looked at me and he said, I just don't know if I can fully trust God to help me with my problems. And I tried to give him verses and share with him things from the Word of God that would help him to make the right decision, to fully place his trust and faith in the Lord as his own personal Savior. I said, this is where it starts. You've got to be birthed into God's family. And he said, I just can't do that right now. I just can't do that right now. This is the ones that Paul was concerned for, the weak. Those were who were struggling with trusting God as they should. Perhaps they were trying to get over the following after the traditions of men and the religious background that they had and things like that. I don't know what all the situation was. But the fact is, whatever the situation may have caused him to be spiritually weak, stronger believers needed to be there to point them in the right direction, to strengthen them. And folks, you can do that with others around you. We can do that together. Working with new converts takes patience. It takes time. It takes persistence so as not to destroy that tender seed of faith and trust. We've got to work with them and encourage them. And he goes on there in verse 15. He went on to write, he said, see that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good both among yourselves and to all men. They were to learn through the Word of God how to respond to them that hurt them. Let me ask you something today. How do you respond to somebody that hurts you? Do you pray for them? Do you just give up because, man, I thought they were a Christian. They treated me that way. Well, I'm just not going to church anymore where they're at. I've heard people say that. They won't go to church with them because these folks, you know, took me to court, or they fussed at me, or they did this, or they did that. Good night, folks. Our relationship with Christ needs to be stronger than that. And he wanted to encourage them. He said back in the book of Romans chapter 12, Paul wrote these words. He said, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. How are you going to overcome the devil's crowd? You show them something that's real. Oh, man, if you go over there to those Christians, you start calling them names, they'll start cussing at you too. Yeah, I've heard some of that sometimes. But that's not what we need to do, folks. Listen, we're to pray for them. We're to be a light unto them. And we're to share the gospel with them. Then he gives some commands here. Look at this. In verse 17, he said, you pray without ceasing. Now, folks, if you want real peace, you keep the line open with God all day long. Amen? Amen. I remember when Lisa and I were dating, I'd call her and I didn't know what to say. She'd call me and she'd talk me a little bit and then she didn't have nothing to say. And it's just silent on the phone. But just to know that I had her on the other end of the line was good enough for me. Amen? And I'd say, you still there? Oh, yeah, I'm still here. What you doing? Nothing. What you doing? Nothing. Okay. Okay. What you doing tomorrow? Oh, I don't know. Probably nothing. You know. You going to be there at church? Oh, yeah, I'm going to be at church. You going to be at church? Yeah, I'm going to be at church. Good. Okay. But I knew she was on the line. And folks, you know what? Just to know that God is on the line. I can go to him at any time. I can go to him with any care. Pray without ceasing. And look at verse 18. He said, in everything, give thanks. In everything? In everything. In the good times? Yeah. In the bad times? Yeah. Because when you give thanks in the bad times, it makes you give thanks to God in the good times. You're thankful unto God. And then look what he said in concerning his word, verses 19 through 21. He said, quench not the spirit. In other words, when God is dealing with your heart about something, don't put the fire out. Man, if God is dealing with you about telling somebody about Jesus, do what God said do. He's there with you. He'll be there with you. Hey, listen, when God is convicting you about being at church on Sunday night as well as Sunday morning and on Wednesday night, and you're saying, but my favorite show comes on, get a DVR, okay? And quench not the Spirit of God. Listen, don't quench him. Look what else he said. Despise not prophesyings. Don't get mad or neglect or disregard the instructions of God when you receive them from God. Don't turn away his word. And then look at what he said here in the last couple of verses. He had concern. He said, abstain from all appearance of evil, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. Help you to grow all the way. I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless. That's something that Ole cannot do, folks. Amen. But the Spirit of God can do. He can preserve you blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look what he said. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. And then he closes out by asking those folks to pray for them. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. He said, pray for us, brethren. Listen, if there's any one thing that we need to do for one another, is to pray for one another. Listen, backseat drivers are always pointing out faults, aren't they? They're always saying, you made the wrong turn. You made the wrong move. If I'd done this, we'd have been there already. you know, shut up, you know. But you know what? There are some folks that are good backseat drivers. Hey, honey, don't forget that turn up here. Yeah, I remember that. Right beside the big rock. Yeah, I remember that. You know what? There are good backseat drivers or bad backseat drivers. Which one are you today? Let's be some good backseat drivers. Amen. Let's look for the coming of the Lord once again. And let's pray as we go. Father, today, Lord, I know that the lesson that Brother Paul talk to these Thessalonian believers, it's still good for us today. And Lord, I want to be one that would encourage others around me. I want to be a strength to them. I want to be an encouragement to them. And Lord, I want to do that so that they in turn can be a strength and encouragement to others as well. And Lord, I pray that you'll take the word of God today, speak to hearts. Lord, if there's anybody listening today, maybe even through the internet lesson today, God, that's not saved, I pray, God, that you'd help them to see that you are the giver of peace. You are the giver of all comfort and strength and joy and hope. And Lord, that we really do have something to look forward to one day when you come back again. What a day that's going to be. Bless our church service now today, Father. I pray that you'll be with our pastor as he baptizes these dear folks. Strengthen them. Help them, God, to continue to grow for you. And Lord, we'll thank you for what you do. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Love you this morning. Thank you for being in Sunday school class.